Hello, welcome to BBC Bite Size with the naked scientists Chris Smith and Kat Arney. No organism on the planet exists in isolation. Everything's connected through a food chain. So Kat, please explain to us how a food chain works. What is it?
Well, simply put, a food chain shows who eats what in a particular habitat.
So give us some examples.
Let's start with grass, which produces seeds. These seeds are eaten by a vole, which in turn gets eaten by a barn owl. So energy flows from the grass to the vole, then to the owl. In other words, from the food to the feeder.
And you mentioned that the grass has energy, so where does it get that from?
Ultimately, the sun's the energy source for virtually all living things on the planet. Green plants harness sunlight to make their own food through photosynthesis, so we call them producers. Every other organism in a food chain is a consumer, because they get their energy by eating other organisms. There are several different names we can give consumers.
And what are they then?
Well, first in the food chain, we have primary consumers, and these just eat plants, meaning that they're herbivores. So examples of these might be rabbits, caterpillars, cows, sheep, so on.
And then what?
Well, next up are secondary consumers, and these eat animals, so they're carnivores. And this would include cats, dogs, even lions and the like. Animals that kill for food are called predators, and the animals they eat are called prey.
And are there any other types of organisms in these food chains?
Well, you've got scavengers, and they feed on dead animals. And these are things like crows, vultures, and even hyenas. And you also get decomposers, which feed on dead and decaying organisms, as well as undigested bits of plant and animal matter in feces. That's poo. Decomposers are usually things like insects and bacteria.
So that's the players in the food chain, but what about the energy? Where does that go?
Energy gets transferred along food chains from one stage to the next, but energy also gets lost along the way.
Why?
Well, it happens because each organism in the chain can't absorb all the possible available energy from the thing it eats. Some of the energy goes into growth and the production of offspring, which obviously can be eaten, but a lot of energy from food is used for movement. It's lost as heat, or it's lost in waste, such as urine and feces.
And if it is lost, what happens to it?
All the energy that isn't passed along up the food chain returns to the environment in one way or another. For example, lost as heat or in feces that could maybe get eaten by decomposers.
So if energy is getting lost at every step of the way, that must presumably limit the length of that chain.
You're absolutely right. Most food chains are pretty short. There's rarely more than four stages because so much energy is lost at each stage. As well as losing energy, food chains also lose biomass at each stage.
And what's that?
Well, biomass is simply the mass of living material at any stage in a food chain. And we can represent this using a diagram called a biomass pyramid.
And what does that look like?
Well, a biomass pyramid is simply a chart drawn to scale that shows the biomass at each stage in a food chain. The bars become narrower as you reach the top. Let's say we have a food chain that starts with oak trees in a wood, which are then eaten by caterpillars, which get eaten by blue tits, which are eaten by a sparrowhawk. That's the top predator in our imaginary wood. Now, the bar for the oak trees will be the largest, as they have the most biomass. Then there's a smaller bar for the caterpillars, smaller still for the blue tits, and the smallest of all for the hawk.
Thanks, Kat. Well, that's the basis of food chains. And in part two, we'll find out about the efficiency of food production and also look at another type of natural cycle, and that's the carbon cycle.